Now, before you go, we're out and about with Galway Talks this coming Friday. We're bringing our current affairs program across the city and the county this summer. And next up, we're in Menlo. So if you have a story to tell us, you can contact us on comments@galwaybfm.ie. And they can come to our live broadcast between 9 and 12 at the 8th of September in the Menlo Park Hotel.
The Menlo Park Hotel, yeah. I've actually been working on the lineup. We're almost finalised. So if you do have any suggestions, do get them into us as quickly as you can to comments@galwaybfm.ie. We're looking at a lot of different things in the Menlo area. There'll be a bit of sport, Irish language as well. I'll be looking after that, Keith, on the day by Niarth Kailgele Clushall. So I'll dig you out of that hole. And we're also looking, there's a few other bits and pieces, interesting people that we're getting on. One linked to a movie that's being filmed in town at the moment. Just looking to get confirmation on that. But there should be a few interesting guests thrown in the mix.
Looking forward to it from there. But and again, if you want to get further details, comments, comments at galwaybfm.ie. John, thanks indeed for joining us today. Now, there's a Burn conference and it's focusing on the conservation and the restoring of Ireland's historic buildings. The event organiser is Frank McCormack, founder and director of Irish Natural Stone. And he joins me on the line today. Frank, good morning to you. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. It's an interesting conference. Is there a willingness out there to restore and conserve and restore historic buildings?
Well, very much so. And now more than ever with the housing crisis as it is. And the problem with the housing crisis is that maybe some of them will not be restored in a correct manner and actually do more damage to them than the neglect that they've suffered up to now, the reason they're vacant at the minute. No, really and truly, what the conference is about, it's about all of the people working in research, Trinity, UCD, experts in the field. We've tried to put them together for this conference, and hopefully it'll be an annual event, sharing all the information and the research that they're doing and the viability of bringing back these buildings. Where we are here in Irish Natural Stone, like we've spent, I'm working in stone now for 50 years. And what we're actually trying to do is to actually show the academics that the work on the ground, the craft, the work, it's still there, the knowledge is there. And it's getting very close to being gone with all the modern ways, apprenticeships, all the modern ways of building, that to restore old buildings, it's a craft in itself, and to understand the materials. And this is what we've been doing. Now, we've done some very iconic buildings. We did Longford Cathedral. We're working on the forecourts at the moment. Yeah. And most of our work is hand-carved. All our work is hand-carved work. We don't use AI here. Mm. We're trying to hold that. So I'm trying to bring the craftspeople and the academics together at this conference.
It's tedious work, I would think, Frank. So it is. I mean, I was looking at the work that you achieved because I went onto your website last night, and I was just looking at what you've achieved. And I mean, you mentioned there, Longford, and the church that was unfortunately badly indeed. Damaged when it came to the fire of that St. Mel's Cathedral in Longford. You worked on St. Yes. John's Cathedral in Limerick, the O'Connell Monument in Ennis, the Irish Cultural and Learning Foundation in Phoenix, and Hope House in Bath. But also you were involved in the Irish Hunger Memorial in New York City as well. So, I mean, it's kind of global what you're doing, but it's very tedious work.
Well, do you see, those kind of jobs keeps the trade going.
Yeah.
Like... we'll do a public sculpture piece if, as I've said umpteen times over, the craft in itself, you can work on a house, you can work on a very prestigious historic building, you can work on a on an old farmhouse, and but also you could be working on monumental work, such as crafting old Celtic crosses and repairing and restoring our graveyard heritage, which is very much part of very dear to my heart, coming to the end of my working life, to see the loss of the skills, because in every parish they had someone like me 100 years ago, and he worked on a house, or he worked on a he worked on a monument for someone. You know, he could be working on a fireplace or a fancy doorway. This kind of craft, it changes. You know, it's multifaceted. It doesn't have to be pigeonholed into one element of it. No. And like with our vernacular houses now in the countryside, the thatched houses, the old galvanized roofed houses, you see them driving by them on the road there now. And actually, like the likelihood is they were thatched in a previous life.
Yeah.
And the galvanized was a handy option to put over them. Now, a lot of them are derelict and gone, but if they were approached the correct way, you can build a modern section behind it, but you can transfer these, and you can use lime mortars. And like, to live in a period house or an old house, it doesn't mean living in misery.
No.
And this is what this conference is about. There's fantastic research being done now with lime and cork plasters and hemp plasters, and like, they're able to bring those, the U values of those homes up, and to modern acceptable
standards there.
And like, this, it's a multifaceted thing, is what we have. And we have a great lineup, and I'm very honored to have the likes of the people that they have come with me on this one.
Well, yeah,
because what this is, I've come from the craft end of it and the skills element of it. But those people now with research, and people are realizing now that it's very important to retain these buildings and don't knock them. There's no need to knock them.
No, you know, we saw enough of that going on in our lives, so we did. When and where is the conference taking place?
It's taking place in Bulleaven, in our workshop premises, and here in Bulleaven. Tomorrow it starts at 10 o'clock. Now, it's by invitation, because I'd be terrified that we would have an awful lot of people here, but interested people can avail of it. If we'll be available, we are recording it, and people that are interested in hearing what, or any government bodies or anything that wants to listen back to it, it will be available for a period of time.
All right, and your website then, Frank, would be also, if they want to go to that website, they can get further details from there.
Well, you can go to info@irishnaturalstone.com.
And get further details from there. I mean, you're 50 years in the business.
I'm being generous to myself. I'm actually 52 years.
52
I'm
years.
Actually working 52 years. I started when I was 15.
Wow.
So I left school and I took a trade. I'm from a large family, and I chose stonemasonry. I saw a man in a graveyard one day carving a name on a headstone, and I said, wow, I'd love to be able to do that. So that's where it started.
Wow. You must have great pay, because I know one or two stonemasons, and they're You know, I mean, I'm just thinking of the lads up in Circular Road there, and there's a band of them up there, and they work extremely diligently and hard. You have to have great patience, because it doesn't happen in an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. It could take days.
Well, we're carving capitals for the four courts at the moment. And the first one that I did about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, it took 1,060 hours.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow. So
it'll give you an idea. But I'd be kind of a bit of a Henry Ford type guy. I would take little pieces. It's like eating the elephant. You take a little piece at a time, and you just get into the swing of it. You know, it's the first one is always the most difficult to do.
No, but you have to have patience. I mean, I was referring to Dennis Goggins and his crew up on Circular Road in Galway. And they're tremendous. Yes. They do tremendous work up there. But it's the passion that they have for the product and to get it right and to make sure that it's right. And I just love that passion. And it's an old skill, and it's a skill that needs to continue. But will young people go into it? Because you do need patience, and a lot of patience
Well, the first, I saw it on Holy Island in Lough Derg, the first monument that's known in Ireland to be made with the maker's signature is on Holy Island.
Wow.
And I think it was done on the in the 11th century.
Wow.
So he made a monument, he made a headstone, we will call it, for a fellow brother. And it's there. And that's, we worked on, we did a job a few years ago in Dublin under the civic offices where the Vikings built that wall for protection. And we done a large section, we restored a large section of that. And like, to just look and see, they used the tie stones, and like, it doesn't really change. It's kind of, even though I don't have any Irish, I would love to, I never applied myself to it, but it's like you just get to know how to do it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change. It's like a language. It's in itself. So.
It's lovely to talk to you. Keep up the good work. Keep up what you're doing. The event, the Burn Conference, focuses on conserving and restoring Ireland's historic buildings. The conference is taking place indeed in his offices. And if you want to get further details, just go to the website indeed, Irish Natural Stone, www.irishnaturalstone.com from there. Lovely to talk to you, Frank. Thanks for keeping our heritage so much alive. And thank you for joining us today on the programme.
Good health naturally with Evergreen Health Foods. Kickstart your health journey with Evergreen Health Foods. With 8 Galway-based stores, a healthier you is just around the corner.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Helen from Evergreen joins us today. Helen, morning to you.
Morning, Keith. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for joining us. We have a good few questions, and so I'm going to get stuck into them. My husband has been recently diagnosed as a celiac and is already feeling the difference being on a gluten-free diet. She wants to know, is there any supplements that she can add to the routine to help support his immune system?
Yeah, the first thing you do when you get a diagnosis like that is you eliminate gluten. That's what's causing the reaction in your body. That's what's causing all your problems. That's what's causing your body to attack the lining of the gut. So it gets red and inflamed, and you can't digest your nutrients. And you get your symptoms like bloatedness and maybe like a loose bowel or digestive discomfort or tiredness or anemia. So gluten-free diet is the first thing you do. And there's loads of awareness around gluten-free now. So basically, loads of labels, loads in the restaurants, they have it on the menu. So it makes it a bit easier and not as overwhelming. And that means then you get the reaction and you adapt to it kind of straight away. The second thing is, if you want to incorporate some supplements, the first thing would be L-glutamine. And what L-glutamine is, it's a protein, a small protein, and it's really good to help and heal the gut, supports the gut lining, and helps to improve digestive function. It kind of powers the gut as well, so it can really help for energy in the gut. It also has other like benefits, like say immune system and brain function. You can throw some digestive enzymes in there if you like to help break down the foods. But what people tend to with the digestive enzymes is they might leave them until, you know, like if they're out dining out or they're on holidays or at a wedding and they're not sure what's in the food or they can't control it, they'll bring a digestive enzyme with them, and what that will do is that'll kind of help them in case there's some gluten or wheat or rye or barley in the food. Add some fibre in there. Your chia and your flax seeds with your omega-3 are so good, and they're also a prebiotic. That will help with the good bacteria. And if someone's been suffering for a while and had those symptoms of celiac disease and it wasn't diagnosed, in that small intestine where you have the issue, that's where you absorb all your nutrients. So a really good multivitamin that gets those nutrients in there, your B12, your B6, vitamin D3, just going to help restabilize the system and help the balance and maybe give you kind of more energy. But yeah, that would be a good place to start, I would think.
Plenty of good advice there. We have somebody else on to us and they want to know, is there anything to help a fungal nail infection? The thought of it is enough for me.
I know, and we have fungus all over the body, so sometimes it goes out of control, and many people do develop a fungal nail infection at some point in their life. It can be unpleasant and difficult to treat, and it thrives in warm and dark and moist, sweaty places. So, and it can present in many ways, especially in a nail infection. It can just be a softened nail. It can be discoloration. The nail can be breaking off, thickening, so it's harder to trim. So you could make your own base oil, which is basically olive oil or coconut oil, aloe vera gel, a nice base, and then you add your oregano or tea tree, and you can apply that onto your nail or that area maybe twice a day. There's another oil called neem oil, and it comes from neem seed. And now we can get it. It's a really nice product. And it's a really potent antimicrobial. It's all made up fiat. There's no make and do. And you can apply it on the nail, in the surrounding area of the nail, and maybe the next nail beside it, so in case it develops. And the other thing that a lot of my customers find quite good is your Epsom salts foot bath. It draws things out, gives a bit of relief. And a bit of apple cider vinegar in there as well might help. Watch your ill-fitting shoes, air your feet, don't take your shoes off, your socks on, don't be sharing nail scissors, that kind of thing. That can kind of help to kind of speed up the healing process there.
Another caller was on to say, my sister was recently diagnosed with osteoporosis and I heard that it can be hereditary. Is a calcium supplement the best help to reduce my risk?
Yeah, like osteoporosis can run in families, most probably because there are inherited factors that affect bone development. And this will really affect the body by reducing the bone density and reducing the bone strength. And because your body renews its bone density all the time, it doesn't renew as efficiently as before. So and that will lead to your weak bones, brittle bones that are liable to fracture. I'm just going about your daily business. And when we have customers coming in the door with this issue, they're quite anxious because it kind of comes out of nowhere. And they're very aware that they just get a fracture and then suddenly there's a bigger issue than that. Calcium, of course, is your most abundant mineral in the bone. Number of factors influence how your body absorbs it. So definitely add in your magnesium, K2, D3, collagen is really important as well. So not calcium by itself. Add those minerals. They'll make sure the calcium goes to where it should be. And you get different calcium complexes. You get different forms of calcium that are better absorbed. So ask in store. And what we can do is we can direct you towards what could be the best choice for you, the one that you're most likely to take more often, so it helps your bone density. Your dietary and lifestyle as well is really important to consider. So, you know, smoking, alcohol, coffee, they can all affect how your body absorbs the nutrients that help the bone density. And one of the most important things that encourages bone development is your weight-bearing exercise. So walking, because, you know, you're carrying your own weight, or doing your Pilates, or going to the gym. There are all different things you could try that can help maintain your bone mass and your bone strength so you don't have any other issues.
Now we have somebody else on to say that they're trying to cut out caffeine to help menopausal symptoms and rising blood pressure. Could you recommend some good alternatives in Evergreen?
Yeah, around the menopause and that time of your life, people tend to lean into some healthy habits just because see if they can amend their symptoms and feel a bit better. the caffeine can exacerbate your menopausal symptoms, and whether it is the sleep or anxiety or your sweats or your blood sugars. And we have lots of options in Evergreen. You have your traditional one, which basically would be a jar that would have barley or fig, and you can use like you would like your jar of coffee, and you add it to your hot water, bit of milk. It won't taste exactly like coffee, but it's they can taste really nice. And we have so many options. You could try and see what suits you the best. You can have your caffeine-free tea. You can have a thing called Red Bush. What Red Bush does is it's a tea from South Africa. It tastes like tea, but it's caffeine-free, low tannins, low high antioxidants, and you can add your milk to it. And then you have your herbal teas. We have so many options. Come ask us for some advice and we can show you what's there and see what kind of taste you like or what things you want it for. My two favourites are one called Liberate Your Liver. It's a really good tea for digestion, so that's really important around the time of menopause. So digestion, nice bit of dandelion in it, bit of spearmint that kind of cools you down, and hibiscus. And hibiscus is a fabulous tea for energy. It's quite tart, but it's really good to help maybe manage blood pressure symptoms.
Wonderful, thank you for that. Finally, I have a six-month-old going through sleep regression, as well as a lively two-year-old. Is there anything good to help with my energy that levels that budget-friendly for me?
Yeah, of course, we have loads of options. And it's tough because, you know, the baby's settling into the routine and they come out of it and they're waking up every couple of hours or mooching. So probably the quickest, easiest, best value thing you could try when you come in the door is a really good B complex. Every brand does one. They have lots of, the B's are so good for energy, especially B5, really good for stress, irritability, mood. Especially 6 months after a baby, maybe help balance the hormones, cardiovascular, digestive function. Go with the B complex and see how you get on with that first.
Thanks, Helen, for that. And if you want to get further details, you can go into any Evergreen in the city or the county. And there's a Helen in every Evergreen, or just pop into Galway Shopping Centre and talk to us there. Helen, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome, Keith.
Good health naturally with Evergreen Health Foods. Kickstart your health journey with Evergreen Health Foods. With 8 Galway-based stores, a healthier you is just around the corner.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Evelyn Kenny, PRO for the Bushy Park Active Retirement, has been on to me today and said, following the summer break, activities for Bushy Park Active Retirement members recommences as follows. On Monday, the 11th September, 25 card game at 8:30pm. On the 18th of September, conversational Irish at 3pm. And note the change of the day, by the way, for that Irish course there. So the 18th of September, conversational Irish at 3pm. On Tuesday, the 19th of September, they're having Pilates, so they are, and that date has to be confirmed. But on the 19th of September, they're having a sing-along at 3pm as well. And on Wednesday, the 13th of September, they're having a Dangan walk at 10:30am. You can meet at the hockey pitch and get further details there. But there's loads more in it, so just talk to Evelyn and the team there in Bushy Park, Active Retired Group. There's loads there. On the 13th of September, Bridge for Beginners. We'll start with Marlene O'Connor at 2pm, and there's a taster session which costs €10 as well. And then on the 20th of September, line dancing at 7:30pm. So there's something, I mean, it just goes on and on and on from there. So if you want to get further details on that, just talk to Evelyn Kenny, PRO for the Bushy Park Active Retirement. There's just so much on there, right through, and even on 21st September, meeting at 4 o'clock for all the gentlemen and members to come together and agree some suitable activities. 28th, they've got cheer yoga. 28th, they've got the book club. So there's something going on there for absolutely everybody right across. And I see a number of the members are off to Spain in October with Jimmy Buckley's Crack on the Costa. So there you go. A gang of them going over there for a hooly, a hooly, hooly, hooly. And we'll go back to that at the noise situation tomorrow morning in the programme, by the way. We're getting some calls in about it currently. We will get back to it tomorrow morning. And Keith, this caller, said thank you for reassuring us that at the night we'll get sorted, but it needs to get sorted and sorted very quickly. Now, though, yeah, there's quite a few other calls too coming into as well, other issues. That school bus thing seems to be dominating so many people's lives. I can only imagine what it's like for the parents of the young people in question. But the bus situation is really and truly affecting an awful lot of people. We are coming back to it tomorrow morning in the programme, and we will go back to the Athenry situation because it is a major problem in that general area as we speak. And people are very, very upset altogether at this stage. Anyway, let me go to Ciara Lawless, because she's released a new single called I'm Your Healer. I have to say, she's beautifully dressed and beautifully attired with flowers today. And again, she's joining me in studio. And Ciara, you're actually from, is it Tupnacanal that you're from?
Good morning, Keith. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for popping into us today. Tell me a little bit about yourself. You have a lovely flowery headset on you. What would we call it? A headpiece on you?
Floral crown.
So tell me, from arranging flowers to arranging music, had you always had a love of music?
Well, I have to thank my mother for it, because I suppose I grew up in a household that was full of flowers. My mom was a keen gardener, but also she had a flower shop in Ballinasloe called Claire's Flowers. So my whole life, from going around to weddings, picking up flower petals and working with her in the shop outside of school hours, and I suppose my love of flowers and music kind of really bloomed from there, and I kind of like to marry the two together.
Wow, yeah. And you've done that beautifully, so you have. And you're bringing some new music, but who would you have looked up to when you were younger?
So a big inspiration in my life actually was my grandmother. So she would have played in the Avoca Cayley band, and she loved accordion and she loved music. So she really encouraged me and pushed me in music. I suppose I would have, my influences a lot of that time would have kind of been, I would listen to a lot of the musicals. And then from there, in my teen years, I started to listen to a lot of Florence and the Machine. I would be a big fan of Fleetwood Mac as well. And Kate Bush, her vocals are amazing. So I'd like to say I kind of have a nice mixture of different genres of music and different eras that I really love.
And do you write your own music then?
Yes. So I suppose I kind of started songwriting when I was around 16. Like, I think everyone at some point goes through different experiences and emotions. And if you're anyway inclined to music, you might just start writing down lyrics, or you might start playing around with the guitar. And I suppose melodies started to come from there. And I was going through different emotions. And for me, music became that shoulder to lean on. And I suppose writing just came quite natural. And I just started to write. And then I was like, I need to take up the guitar. I want to start structuring the music.
Yeah.
And from there, I suppose my love of songwriting came about. And I've been kind of honing the craft ever since and putting in work.
Where do you perform, can I ask you? Do you go out and about?
Yeah, so I suppose before the pandemic, I was living in Boston, so I was gigging over there. And then when I came back to Ireland, I set up a flower shop, and I suppose we went straight into a lockdown then. So it literally, up until then, for the last few years, I kind of shifted into singing for a lot of funerals, actually. So I came from the stage centre to being in the chapel and singing a lot of hymns, and kind of shifted my focus from then. But I found a great peace in it, and I think that it can be said for everybody, when you're in the church singing for a funeral, you can feel their presence and you can see them, you can feel them looking down. And I think it was quite an honour to be able to continue to sing, but just from a different angle.
Mm. So that kept you going during lockdown.
Yes.
So take me then to where exactly are you now?
So currently right now, I released my first single in May called Half the Man, and that song was about Alzheimer's. And I have another single that just came out last Friday called I Am Your Healer. And I have another few singles coming out next year ahead of a album to come out.
So you're doing it in stages then?
Yeah, doing it in stages. So I'm performing all the time. So I've had a few festivals over the summer. So that was really, really fun to get to meet people and, you know, play the songs, some of which are not released yet, and kind of test for feedback. And yeah, so it's been, I'm kept going on that journey.
Okay, so take me through I Am Your Healer then, that was out last Friday. Give me the background to this.
So an interesting one. So when I was writing that song, it was back in 2020 and we were all in a lockdown. So I suppose we had time to really look at ourselves and reflect at our life. And I think when anyone's going through their 20s, it is a time of kind of introspection, and you do kind of question what your guiding light is in life, your morals, what you believe in, where you're heading, career, all of those thoughts come up, and self, I suppose, esteem comes up and how you value yourself. So really for me, sitting in front of the mirror writing that song, there's like statements like your medicine woman, goddess, I am your healer. It was really about me realizing that, you know, with all the different difficulties I was struggling with emotionally, realizing that actually it starts with us. And if we want to begin the path of healing or raising our confidence and self-belief and taking that first step to maybe achieve things like we want to do, especially in the music, for me, that song is really like an affirmation to myself to go, I can do it. I'm worthy. So this song is really about self-expression, believing in yourself and not being afraid to step outside your comfort zone.
Do you want to perform it for us this morning?
Keith, I'd love to.
In your own time, you decide now to see, can I do a decent mix on it from there? But in your own time.
Thank you. This one's called I Am Your Healer.
Feeling your higher self around me. Where am I supposed to go with this love? With every step I take, I meet your resistance. Is my patience our blessing or my curse? 'Cause I don't know what to do, but my soul knows the truth. I am your healer, I am your goddess, your medicine woman, so why won't you let me in? I am your healer, I am your goddess, your medicine woman, let my love in. All is fair in love and war. Faith and destiny have a part to play. And if the Greek gods could speak, I wonder what they'd say. In your battle against your ego, don't throw it all away. I am your healer, I am your goddess, your medicine woman, so why won't you let me in? I am your healer, I am your goddess, your medicine woman,
That was Ciara Lawless. Ciara, you just wanted to make a point there, so you did.
Thank you so much, Keith, for having
me. Well done, beautiful voice, sorry. Well done, beautiful voice. But you wanted to make a point there.
Thank you so much, Keith, for having me on your wonderful show. For anybody listening in, if you enjoyed that, the song is out now on Spotify and you can follow me across all social media platforms. It's Ciara Lawless HQ. I've made sure to keep it the same so I'm easy to find. Thank
Give it
you
to
so
me again,
much.
One more time.
Ciara Lawless HQ across all social media platforms.
And thank you, Ciara. What a lovely voice she has from there. Somebody just sent me in a screenshot of parking meter in Galway City in the car park of this meeting. If you opt to pay for parking by cash, this is the message that comes up on the card machine. Surely a nicer word could be found. And the words that's up there is aborted, and the person's taking offence to it from there. We've just got a few other calls into us today in relation to Athenry, and this call said, I'm from Athenry and the water and sewage needs upgrading badly. Small pain for big gain. It has to be done, and it's as simple as that. People just love to complain, Keith, this caller said. I just think they were caught off guard this morning, but we'll have details on that on tomorrow morning's programme. And Keith, this caller said today, there's a lot of talk about calling the new bridge after Julia Morrissey, but most Galwegians don't know this lady and never heard of her. I only heard of her when a campaign started during COVID times. I hear that she was from the Athenry area and was involved in the 1916 Rising activity in that area. But should we be naming the bridge after a person who was an active in the city during their lifetime, who would have been more well known amongst townies and Galwegians? There are a number of women that I think should be considered and qualify. We have the former mayors Sheila Jordan, Bridie Flaherty, Angela Lupton and Mary Byrne. I'm also told that Maggie Ann Ash was a great lady, first woman on the Galway Corporation, as it was way back then, even though there was no photo of her in City Hall. Some of these ladies reared large families too, as well as being involved in the political life of the city, actually helping make it a city, not just a large town, the scholar said. Maggie Ann Ash ran a pub in Cross Street. She was a single lady of independent means and took no guff from anyone, even from the chamber. She helped a lot of women to get housed at the time, when everything had to be signed by their husband. Bridie Flaherty ran a shop in Merview and raised a large family and organised the Ladies of Merview, helping them to earn money in the evenings by waitressing at socials, at hotels and otherwise. I'm also told that there was a widow in Foster Street who used to help and deliver babies all over the city. And Mrs. McGowan, Willie Henry wrote about a piece about her recently. In College O, there was Breda Ryan, a great lady. And Mrs. Quinn, who had 19 children, her son Martin became mayor of the city. She must have been some lady, and she always seemed to have time to chat to neighbours and have a family organised event and to do various jobs. She sent them to second level when it had to be paid for. A great lady and a great sense of humour as well. Maybe you could throw some of these names out to your listeners to see what they have to say. Best regards, and that comes from Newland Nolan today. This programme. The naming of that bridge is going to take quite some time. Tomorrow on the programme, Shona O'Malley joins us, and she tells her remarkable story, and from cancer diagnosis to a business venture as well. She joins us tomorrow morning on the programme. We're also joined tomorrow morning indeed by Councillor Shelley Hertridge-Quinn about that Athenry debacle and how it continues from there. And we're also looking indeed at clinical audits tomorrow on the programme. Gerry Murphy, we go motoring with Gerry Murphy tomorrow morning at the programme. And we go to a lovely story indeed about Bridge Street. Coolin Co headlines a show in Galway City on Sunday. And we look at volunteering as well with Galway Samaritans. That and more between 9 o'clock and 12 midday, plus loads more tomorrow morning between 9 and 12. Thank you to all involved in today's programme, especially you, our listeners, by the way. Thank you for being there. But also indeed to all of our guests for taking part in today's programme. John Morley again, thank you for producing. And to Thrace for taking all of your comments on telephone lines. But from you, it's truly Keith Finnegan. Until tomorrow, have yourselves a good and a safe Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow just after 9 o'clock. A very good morning to you.